As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. And be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, July the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We'll come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And my name is William Roberts, always news, lots of that, hard facts, certainly. And from time to time, we even get into the workable solutions basket. But if you can't remember the last time that you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, to be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on, bookmark, becomevocallocal.com on your browser, and or go to vocallocal.org. Either place will get you the same place. I guess that's the way you say it, either direction. And you can jump into our chat room there this morning and become interactive that way. You can also pick up the telephone and call now for those unlimited long-distance access. Or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. Some very serious and lengthy emails yesterday. I thank you for that. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me. Zip code is 65647. Big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, AM 1610, Lompoc, California, and 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast each and every day, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. All of that contact information can be found on our website, becomevocallocal.com, and you can also find all of our show archives and so much more at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Precious metals hover near $1,200. The Federal Reserve, the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, is sustaining the equities market. BP taps the Saudi wealth. Go there today. Global financial elite on a serving platter. We're going to put them up there on the platter today. Maybe put a few heads in there as well as some potatoes. Civil rights, illegal aliens, historical perspectives. We'll go into all those areas. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report for this morning, Friday, July the 9th, 2010, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was up $5.50, trading at $1,204 even. Silver up 3 cents at $17.99, scratching at the doorway to $18 one more time. Platinum up $5 at $1,523 a troy ounce. And palladium up 4 at $450 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, rather tight and narrow trading band, $1,194.20 for a low, $1,205.60 for a high. So it's just straddling that $1,200 mark. But at $1,204 even, your gold is up $294.80 year to year from this date 1 year ago, for a 32.43% return on your investment, not something you're going to get at your local savings bank. Well, we'll pick it up right there after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, July the 9th, 2010, 2-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Just as reliable as a Swiss watch and as punctual as a German train, I suppose. But let's go back into that market report and close it out for today. Again, we found as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, about an hour ago, gold trading up $5.50, crawling above that $1,200 mark again at $1,204 a troy ounce. Silver up 3 cents at $17.99 an ounce. This is all your gold spot market, by the way. You'll have to add more to that if you want to get a coin in your pocket. But the silver again up 3 cents at $17.99 an ounce. Platinum up $5 at $1,523, and palladium up $4 at $450 an ounce. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London, now price fixers that they are, the London Bullion Market Association. Of course, the London Bullion Market Association, do definitely go up and check that out on your browser. Get an eye full of that with the black and white in your eyes, as Hal Anthony likes to say. But the London gold fix this morning, the boys set the price at $1,196.25. And we're above that now. Where it'll close is anybody's guess. The SPDR gold shares this morning stands basically steady. Little activity, not a whole lot, but standing at 1,316.04 metric tons in their treasure vaults. And that translates to $50.49 billion worth of gold at $1,204 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 121. This is the president's, this is your government at work, the president's financial or the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. Spit it out there, Mr. Will. Bloviate for the audience. Yes, indeed. Anyway, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 121 yesterday to 10,139. The NASDAQ closed up 16 at 2,175. And the Standard & Poor's Very Poor's 500 Index closed up 10 at 1,070. Crude oil this morning drops down a little bit, and down 19 cents. Trades at $75.25 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. In the U.S. dollar index, go up and look at the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website. You'll find that trade-weighted basket of currencies. They call the USDX their global product there. Bumps up 25 basis points, I guess you'd say, and trades at 84 even. So we got $1,204 for gold and 84 USDX, and of course that impacts the foreign exchange rates. Here they are for this morning. The Canadian loonie bumps up 90 basis points, trades at 97 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 15 basis points, yet still trades at 8 cents. The multiplier there is 12.7852 pesos per dollar, by the way. The euro lost 51 basis points, trades at $1.26. Watch that euro continuing to creep higher and higher. The British pound off 55 basis points, trades at $1.51. And the Swiss franc off 66 basis points, trades at 95 cents U.S. But as you remember, perhaps some of you that have listened for the past few months, you remember that the Swiss central bankers wanted to push down to depress the Swiss franc, which they did, and did successfully for some time. But both the Swiss franc and the Canadian dollar are once again nearing parity with the U.S. dollar as the U.S. dollar continues its decline. The bond market this morning, the two-year bonds, the bonded indebtedness, the U.S. Treasuries, 0.62% yield. The 10-year yields 3.04, and the 30-year is handing back 4.02%. The mortgage market this morning, the fixed mortgages, the 15-year fixed mortgages, moves down from 4.20% a month ago to 4.14% this morning, and the 30-year moves down from 5.58% a month ago to 5.51%. You know, Alan Greenspan, he's always got something to say, can't keep his mouth shut. But anyway, it's off of Bloomberg by Vivian Liu Chen, she must be Oriental. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said the U.S. economy may be undergoing what he called a pause. Not like the pause on your puppy, but a pause, as in dead stop. Yeah, that one. And that he can't rule out the possibility of a so-called double-dip recession. Well, here we go again. The quote continues, of course, there is a possibility, Greenspan said in an interview on CNBC Today. The trouble is there's always a possibility in both directions. So unexpectedly, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Greenspan, who ran the central bank from into the ground, we might say, from 1987 to 2006, said, quote, it's more than likely, close quote, that a quote unquote pause is occurring in the world's largest economy. I'd say so, Alan. The inventory accumulation, quote-unquote, has stopped. And production, quote, has flattened out, the 84-year-old former central banker said. Central banker. Companies added 83,000 workers to their payrolls in June. It doesn't match my numbers, but I guess it works for Bloomberg. Less than forecast by economists, the Labor Department report said last week the report capped a month of data on housing and manufacturing that point to a slowdown in the economy. And then it goes on and talks about other things. But stock market behavior over the last several days has been, quote-unquote, encouraging. You can print money out of thin air and throw it in and buy all of your favorite stocks. You can keep picking it back up and picking it back up and picking it back up. And that's what the President's Working Group on Financial Markets is doing in our marketplace. Greenspan said after S&P 500 index rose 0.9%, he added, quote, there are still huge imbalances in the flow of funds and that China's currency remains, quote unquote, undervalued. After he spoke, the U.S. Treasury Department released a report to Congress saying that the yuan remains undervalued. So I guess he's the expert, and he's going to tell us all about Chinese finance and economy. Anyway, he did stop just short of branding the country a currency manipulator. A currency manipulator. Well, here's a little bit more. Do we want to go to that one? Do we want to go to this one? Let's go to this one. Received an email yesterday, first email from a listener, longtime listener to the broadcast. Always appreciate hearing from each of you. Sent me a lengthy article. We're going to go through some of this. I think you might find it rather interesting. This is a website that I hadn't been to before. It's titled, the name of the website is Economy Watch. You can find the website on the web at economywatch.com. This is an article by a David Koplow, a PhD editor-in-chief, economywatch.com. Now, I'm going to consider this to be a blog, all right? I haven't taken the time that would be necessary to go through and verify everything that's in here, so let's just take it for what it's worth, all right? AIG bailout, corrupt regulator, organized gift to few privileged banks. This is new news as of yesterday. When the government began rescuing AIG from collapse in the fall of 2008, with what has become a $182 billion lifeline, it was required to forfeit its rights to sue several banks, including Goldman Sachs, Societe Generale, and Deutsche Bank and Merrill Lynch, over any irregularities with most of the mortgage securities it insured in the pre-crisis years. We'll pick it all up right there. Lots on the browser today. Stay tuned.
A debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where over thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
My soul Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
So once again, we're referring to this article sent in by a listener, David, by a listener for our consideration. This article is written by David Kaplow. You can find the entire article, a lengthy one, on economywatch.com. I'm going to continue with it with a few more minutes, though. I want to give you a little bit of an idea or flavor of what you'd find reading the entire article, which is too long, unfortunately, for us to go into today. But the idea here is that when the government started bailing out AIG, the banks were required to forfeit their right to sue, or excuse me, AIG was required to forfeit its right to sue several of the banks, okay? So Goldman Sachs and Societe Generale and Deutsche Bank and Merrill Lynch all profiting here on products that they sold to AIG. AIG was blocked out from being able to sue them. Now, before you start wringing your handkerchiefs over AIG, AIG is as corrupt a place as you could ever get. I would think that it's probably as close to the CIA as any money laundering house could be, but they were into all kinds of things, including automobile insurance. And for numerous years, I had my automobile insurance policy with AIG. But anyway, I got wise to them and got out of that. And unfortunately, it's a state-mandated monopoly. There's just no place to go, so I had to take another auto insurer. But continuing from this article, after the Securities and Exchange Commission's civil fraud suit filed in April against Goldman Sachs for possibly misrepresenting a mortgage deal to investors, AIG executives and shareholders are asking whether AIG may have been misled by Goldman into insuring mortgage deals that the bank and others may have known were flawed. This month, an Australian hedge fund sued Goldman on similar grounds. Goldman is contesting the suit and denies any wrongdoing, right? We all remember Blank Fine sitting there acting so ignorant and innocent. What a chump. Anyway, here's part two. Who knew what and when? Unknown outside of a few Wall Street legal departments, the AIG waiver was released in May by the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform amid 250,000 pages of largely undisclosed documents. Could you imagine having to wade through that pile of crap? The documents, reviewed by the New York Times, provide the most comprehensive public record of how the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and the Treasury Department orchestrated one of the biggest corporate bailouts in history. The documents also indicate the regulators ignored recommendations from their own advisors to force the banks to accept losses on their AIG deals, and instead paid the banks in full for their contracts. That decision, says critics of the AIG bailout, has cost taxpayers billions of extra dollars in payments to the banks. It also contrasts with the hard line the White House took in 2009. I don't know what kind of a hard line they took, cocaine probably, when it forced Chrysler's lenders to take losses when the government bailed out the auto giant. Analysts say the documents suggested that regulators were overly punitive towards AIG and overly forgiving of banks during the bailout. I think some hemp rope from Canada would have been more appropriate, but that's my opinion. Signifying that they say, by the fact that the legal waiver undermined AIG and its shareholders' ability to recover damages, quote, even if it turns out that it would be a hard suit to win, just the gesture of requiring AIG to scrap its ability to sue is outrageous, said David Skeel, a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania. You following along here, folks? Following along? Understand what's going down here? Lengthy article. You can find it at economywatch.com. Quote, the defense may be that the banking system was in trouble and we couldn't afford to destabilize it anymore. But that just strikes me as really going overboard. This really suggests they had myopia, and they were looking at it entirely through the perspective of the banks. Regulators at the New York Fed declined to comment on the legal waiver, but disagreed with that viewpoint. Quote, this was not about the banks, close quote, said Sarah Dahlgren, a senior vice president for the New York Fed, who oversees AIG, that's American Insurance Group, by the way. Last month, the Congressional Oversight Panel, a body charged with reviewing the state of financial markets and regulators that monitor them, published a 337-page report on the AIG bailout. Here's part three of the article. Why no consideration for alternatives? It concluded that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York did not give enough consideration to alternatives before sinking more and more taxpayer money into AIG. Quote, it's hard to escape the conclusion that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York just wasn't going through the motions, close quote, their report said. About $46 billion of the taxpayer money in the AIG bailout was used to pay mortgage trading partners like Goldman Sachs and Societe Generale, a French bank, to make good on their claims. The banks are not expected to return any of that money, leading the Congressional Research Service to say in March that much of the taxpayer money ultimately bailed out the banks, not AIG, a point we've made here at Economy Watch a number of times. Well, it's a lengthy article. It's exceedingly well written. It's very revealing, and I would encourage you to take a look at it. Jump up and access that website, economywatch.com, and I thank our listener for sending it in and bringing it to our attention. This carries on from an article I gave out a little bit earlier in the week as regards to the battle that's brewing between Airbus and Boeing for U.S. Air Force tankers, aircraft, aerial tanker money. Here's the article, Bloomberg, continuing. Gopal Ratnam, July the 8th, 2010. Gopal Ratnam. Oh, boy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Never mind. European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company. European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, the parent company of Airbus SAS, said it bid today for a $35 billion contract to build aerial tankers for the U.S. Air Force ahead of tomorrow's deadline. Today's the deadline. Today's the deadline. All right. We have delivered an 8,000-page or plus proposal to the U.S. Air Force. Ralph Crosby, chairman of EADS North America, said today at a news conference in Arlington, Virginia, it's a fully compliant proposal that meets all 372 requirements listed by the Air Force, he said. How would you like to have to bid on that contract? An 8,000-plus-page proposal meeting fully all of the 372 requirements listed by the Air Force. Well, it continues. The Air Force plans to award a contract by November for 179 airplanes to replace its 1950s-era tankers. EADS, also known as Airbus, is offering its Airbus A330 plane to compete against Boeing's 767-based tanker. Ukraine's Antonov Company and its partner, U.S. Aerospace, Inc. of Santa Fe Springs, California. You know that Ukraine Antonov Company had a partner under the title of U.S. Aerospace, Inc. in Santa Fe Springs, California? Also said they'll have a bid with three different airplane models. EADS, based in Munich and Paris, rose 17 cents to 16.79 euros in Paris trading, blah, blah, blah. The European company's bid for the tanker program has drawn opposition from U.S. lawmakers who cited a June 30th World Trade Organization report that found European governments had provided illegal aid to EADS subsidiary Airbus SAS. As I said earlier this week, why is this even a discussion? Why is this even a discussion? Why not just award the contract to Boeing and get it over with, okay? American-made, American company, long-time American company, all the way back to the Little Red Barn in Seattle, Washington, the home, not Chicago, of Boeing. Anyway, Senator Sam Brownback, finding some testicular fortitude, a Kansas Republican, and Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat of Washington, of state, Washington State, are among those asking the Pentagon to penalize Airbus. Well, there you go. More on that in a moment. Stay tuned.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Now cPanel.com brings you emergency gear you can use today. The new $99 Sunflower can become your everyday solar hot water heater. Place in a sunny spot, connect to your garden hose, and let the sun help you save hundreds on your utility bills. If the power goes out, you'll have safe hot water for showers and cleaning. And if a flood, earthquake, or hurricane leaves you without clean water, you'll have 18 gallons of fresh emergency drinking water, which won't drain back to empty city water lines. In hot weather, the Sunflower will even sterilize contaminated water. Perfect for camping, emergencies, swimming pools, beach houses, and hunting cabins because the Sunflower weighs only 4 pounds and folds into its own included travel bag. Setup takes seconds, and the Sunflower fills and regulates automatically. It's the least expensive automatic solar hot water heater and can pay for itself in months. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Enter Oracle into the coupon box to receive a free 8-in-1 stainless steel card knife with your order. Sunflower, the $99 solar hot water heater.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on our Friday, July the 9th broadcast of Become Vocal Local. I thank you all for joining us this morning, going into a basket full of news. Back into a little bit more research in here. If you have your browsers open or you're interested in doing so, you can type into your search engine, your favorite search engine, the Alaska Oil Pipeline BP shutdown. Now, when I did that on Google, it returned about 103 results, 103,000 results. But we know that not all of those will be of any value. But certainly the top ones are interesting. BP's Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline shutdown after controlled spill. That was a May 26, 2010 article, a June 5th article. Similar, May 25th article, similar, so on and so forth. But then it starts to drop out, and we go back in time, and we find articles from 2006 and earlier, August 7, 2006, BP Global Press, BP to shut down the Prudhoe Bay oil field, blah, blah, blah. Lots of this stuff is in there. Let's see what we got on this one. Yeah, okay. So we'll come right back to that. I'm going to jump over to from that browser page, all right, now I found this one over on BP's website. This is release date is August the 7th of 2006. Anchorage, British Petroleum Alaska Exploration Alaska Inc., that's BP Exploration Alaska Inc., has begun an orderly and phased shutdown of the Prudhoe Bay oil field following the discovery of unexpectedly severe corrosion and a small spill from a Prudhoe Bay oil transit line. Shutting down the field will take days to complete. Over time, These actions will reduce Alaska North Slope oil productivity by an estimated 400,000 barrels per day. The decision follows the receipt on Friday, August the 4th, again, this we're talking 2006 here, Friday, August the 4th, of data from a smart pig run completed in late July. Analysis of the data revealed 16 anomalies in 12 locations in an oil transit line on the eastern side of the oil field. We're talking about Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. In response to the inspection data, BP conducted follow-up inspections of anomalies where corrosion-related wall thinning appeared to exceed BP criteria for continued operation. It was during these follow-up inspections that BP personnel discovered a leak and a small spill estimated at 4 to 5 barrels. Okay, 4 to 5 barrels, small spill, right? It's like sneezing when you're alongside of a pipeline, 4 to 5 barrels of oil. Oops. And it's a spill. Oops. A leak. Oops. The spill has been contained and the cleanup effort is underway. The pipeline was shut down at 6:30 a.m. Sunday morning. BP has notified state and federal officials of the decision and will work closely with the U.S. Department of Transportation. Blah, blah, blah. BP is identifying and mobilizing additional resources from across Alaska and North America in order to speed the inspection of the remaining Prudhoe Bay oil transit lines. BP operates 22 miles of oil transit pipeline at Prudhoe Bay. Smart pigging inspection has been completed over about 40% of that length. BP previously announced plans to replace a 3-mile segment of pipeline following inspections conducted after a larger spill was discovered on March the 2nd of 2006, all right? So that's one of the articles, and it gives you a little bit of an idea that shutdowns of this oil pipeline in the Prudhoe Bay oil field are not totally unheard of. Here's another one. Let's see if I can get this guy to open properly. I'm along now and do it. Thank you. Update, 3 BP-owned oil pipelines shut down after a spill. Now, this is May the 25th of 2010. 800-mile pipeline from Alaska's oil field closed. Pipeline part owned by BP. This is a Reuters article, Reuters.com. Produced pipeline part owned by BP. See, BP doesn't own the whole shooting match would be a polite way to say it on air. Producers cutting oil output to 16% of normal adds background on the importance of pipeline. Here, news out of Anchorage, Alaska, May the 25th, Reuters. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline, partly owned by BP, shut down on Tuesday after spilling several thousand barrels of crude oil into backup containers. Several thousand barrels of oil into backup containers, drastically cutting supply down the main artery between refineries and Alaska's oil fields. The accident comes at a difficult time for BP, the largest single owner of the pipeline operator, holding 47%. So they're the largest single owner of the pipeline operator, but they only hold 47%. As it struggles to plug a gushing Gulf of Mexico oil well, gushing here in this article, the shutdown follows a series of mishaps that resulted from a scheduled fire command system test at Pump Station 9, about 100 miles south of Fairbanks, Alaska, said the Alaska Pipeline Service Company, the operator of the 800-mile oil line. It's still Alaska. This is the same pipeline company that I was working on contract. Actually, I was working with a company that was on contract with Alaska. We were doing the geotechnical engineering as the pipeline was being designed and built in Fairbanks. The power outage triggered opening of relief valves, causing an unspecified volume of crude oil to overflow a storage tank into a secondary containment. There were no injuries, but the approximately 40 people at the worksite were evacuated, Alaska spokeswoman Michelle Egan said. North Slope oil producers have cut their flow into the pipeline's Prudhoe Bay intake station to 16% of their normal rate. Egan says there's enough storage capacity to allow the line to be shut down for 48 hours as long as producers maintain the 16% flow rate, she said. It's unclear how long the shutdown will last. quote, "We're going to take as long as we need to make sure the site is safe before we start back up," Egan said. "Supply problems in the pipeline potentially disrupt tanker shipments to refineries. The volume of oil spilled is unknown. We've estimated the spill is several thousand barrels," she said. "All has been held within the secondary containment, which has a capacity to hold about 104,000 barrels, 104,500 barrels, she said. The amount spilled is, however, nowhere near the containment area's capacity, she added. Alyeska is a consortium owned by five oil companies, and here are the majors. Major owners are BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, Unocal, and Koch, K-O-C-H, holding minor shares. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which runs from Prudhoe Bay to the tanker port of Valdez, normally ships about 667,000 barrels of oil daily. Reporting on this for Reuters by Bill Rigby. Anyway, it gives you a little bit more of information regarding that. The other day I heard another interview of Lindsay Williams on another network talking about all of this. And, of course, once again, Lindsay is talking to the elite. He's talking to retired Atlantic Richfield executives, and he brought out some rather interesting information, again, putting out, floating this idea that the well that was being drilled here was 40,230 feet. That's not exactly accurate in my understanding. 5,000 foot deep, and then they drilled down 30,000 feet below the mud line. Well, you can do the math. You can see that there's errors there. His testimony doesn't seem to line up with my calculator. He says that BP didn't have the slightest idea what they were drilling into, and pressures behind this oil well was to the extreme. And then he's talking about his elite, this Mr. X, the unnamed fellow. But then he makes a curious statement, an executive, 87 years of age in most cases. Well, I don't know how many other cases this executive that's 87 years of old is, but are we talking to multiple Mr. X's, or are we talking about the elite as a group, Lindsay? And then he continues. He talks about wellhead pressures being 1,500 PSI in Prudhoe Bay. But he again floats this idea that somehow or another they're dealing with 20 to 70,000 PSI in the Macondo well. Well, I just have to ask, why the widespread? Does your 87-year-old retired Atlantic Richfield executive, the elite, have such lousy intel that they're off by 50,000 PSI? 50,000 PSI is no small shakes when we start getting into that. But then he kind of tries to cover it up and talks about a 40,000 PSI pressure differential or a differential pressure. Well, let's just jump over and take a little bit of a look at that. We won't spend much time on it. But you can do this for yourself. Just jump up on Wikipedia and type into your browser there in Wiki this line, and you'll get it. Let's see if I can scroll up. Pressure measurement. Many techniques have been developed for the measurement of pressures and vacuums. Instruments used to measure pressures are called pressure gauges or vacuum gauges. Then it goes on and talks about a manometer, a vacuum gauge, and so on and so forth. Then you can read a little bit about this. There's an absolute gauge and differential pressures, all right? A lengthy statement in there. It will help you to understand what differential pressure is, but a differential pressure is simply the difference in pressure between two points, all right? So in order to try and figure out what the differential pressure is at 5,000 feet below sea level, we need to know something about pressure. So let's do that right after these words from our sponsors.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we've returned once again, and I don't mean to pick on Lindsay Williams, you know, his book, and I have a lot of his books right here, but The Energy Non-Crisis, published by Lindsay Williams back in, looks like March of 1980, first edition in July of 1980, I have a seventh edition printing 1988 in front of me, open on my desk here in front of me. Anyway, I don't mean to beat up on him a little bit, but I'd like to verify some of the things that he's saying, because even though he seems to have unlimited access to the quote-unquote elite, Mr. X, the numbers just don't ever seem to line up, and the story doesn't sound credible, and most of the information sounds like it could be taken off the web, and if it was taken off the web from some of the other sites, like Mike Chambers Live, for instance, .com, I think the numbers would be far more accurate. But we are to look into this stuff and verify, like I said so many times in the past, we listen to everyone, you know, read anything, but we believe nothing until we verify something, you know, in our own research. And I'm not saying that I've got the last word on this, and I certainly don't. Absolutely not. Wouldn't even attempt, you know. I don't have the hem of this garment, but I'm certainly not trying to, you know, encourage you to take my word for it, as some are. So let's just look at it a little bit. So with this differential pressure, what is that? Again, differential pressure is the difference in pressure between two points. So you're not going to come up with a wide 20,000 to 70,000 PSI system going on here with that kind of a deviation, 50,000 PSI. I mean, that's astronomical. What a huge spread that is. But you're not going to get that out of the differential pressure. So, but here, if you understand water pressure at depth, you know that at 14.7 psi is the surface atmospheric pressure at the sea level. At mean, I guess you'd say it would be mean high tide line. 14.7 psi. That's what's pressing down on all of us all the time. The higher up in the atmosphere you go, let's say you climb to the top of a mountain, you take a an altimeter. An altimeter is simply just recording the changes in the barometric pressure as you move away from the center of the Earth up into the atmosphere. And so it's compensated for that, an aneroid barometer that's compensated, the best aid you can use when you're mountaineering. But it's compensated for other deviations, which we needn't get into. But 14.7 PSI is the surface atmospheric pressure. At 5,280 feet below the sea, it becomes a little bit different quotient, all right? And in order to figure out what that is, you can multiply by 0.445 PSI per foot. And if you do 0.445 PSI per foot times 5,280, all right, should be back up again now. Just keeps dropping the call and dropping the call and dropping the call. You know, in the chat room, if everything sounds all right to you all, and that way I'll know we're running right along here. But again, doing simple mathematics, 5,280 feet times 0.445 comes up with a 2,349.6 PSI, plus you add another atmosphere to that, which is 14.7. So in total, you have 2,364.3 pounds per square inch of pressure pressing down on the mud line, if you will, at the wellhead. And so any differential now that you're looking at between what is coming up out of the earth and what is being pressed down, it's going to serve to reduce the number that's coming out, the pressure that's coming out of the well, by this 2,364 as they compete right there at the point that the leak is happening. All right, so anyway, long stories in shorts. You can see that we're not developing anything here anywhere near thousands of feet pressure, PSI, not thousands of pounds per square inch pressure, nowhere near it. It's just kind of I don't know where he pulled this numbers from, what orifice they got them out of, but I don't think they're anywhere near even reasonable. And then he talks about 35,000 PSI of water pressure. Well, we've just discovered that the 35,000 PSI of water pressure, unless all of the research that I've done and the quick mathematics that I've done are completely erroneous, I don't see anywhere near 35,000 PSI of water pressure. And so anyway, what Lindsay says is that this is the higher than any pressure ever, higher than any pressure ever, and it might be the case. But it certainly, I doubt that it would be anywhere near this 20,000 to 70,000 PSI. I mean, you know, you start getting into that range. You've probably seen some of the photographs of these rovers, and they've got little fish swimming through the plume, and the fish emerge on the other side, and the fish don't have any oil on them. You know, they're white, and they aren't cut to a thousand ribbons, you know, just blown into absolute nothing. You can imagine what it would be like if you had a thousand PSI of air pressure coming out of some kind of a tank, like an air compressor holding thing. You put your hand in front of a thousand PSI, it would probably sever your hand at the wrist. All right, this is kind of like nonsense. You look at the mathematics that the Vetco Gray used, that 15,000 PSI is the rating on the flanges on their vertical riser pipes, and that could be a factor of 100, a tremendous safety factor there, above anything that they would ever anticipate coming up out of the ground. So a lot of this is, I believe, just stuff and nonsense. And then he goes on and he talks about, and this he wrote about in the Energy Non-Crisis, the use of the, if not in the book, I remember him talking about it when I did buy the books, the use of 747 aircraft engines to pump the natural gas back down into the ground instead of sending it on down the pipelines. But Now the story has changed a little bit to pump the toxic gases back into the well. So anyway, the story is constantly changing. I would just encourage you to listen very carefully. There's so much that we need to discuss in this regard that's accurate and that's honest and it's upfront and that's open, that I don't think that we need to go down any smoke screens or pie holes with this sort of stuff. I don't believe that necessarily that we're in the mother load of all oil on the earth, and these kinds of comments, or that we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy and the blood's turning red and all of those sorts of things. If you wanted to go into it from the standpoint of where BP is going, there's a lot more on the browser that we can look at for that, and I'm trying to scroll now over to it. And let's just see this. Uh-huh. Let's go here. All right. This off of Bloomberg, our little technical segment gone. BP stages a comeback in credit markets. Off Bloomberg, new news. BP PLC is staging a comeback in credit markets as investors who 3 weeks ago priced in more than 40% odds the energy company would be forced into bankruptcy speculate that mounting costs from the biggest oil spill in U.S. history will be contained. All right, I'm sharing this with you for not to bring an insult to anybody, but just to let you know that the investment community, those quote-unquote elite apparently that have the ear of Lindsey Williams and others, these retired executives, apparently these people and the elite are not looking at this as a game changer. They're looking at this as a nasty spill and a bad stroke of luck for BP. But they're moving right on down the road. BP PLC, again, is staging a comeback in credit markets as investors who 3 weeks ago priced in more than 40% odds that the energy company would be forced into bankruptcy speculate that mounting costs from the biggest oil spill will be contained. BP's $1 billion of 4.75 notes, 75% notes due in June, in 2019, plunged almost 25 cents to as low as 80.5 cents on the dollar 2 months following the April explosion in the Gulf of Mexico. And they've gained back 9.75 as they climbed they've gained back 9.75 cents as they climbed in each of the past six trading days. Credit default swaps protecting against a BP default for 1 year declined for the eighth straight day, falling by almost half from their peak 4 weeks ago. Bondholders are gaining confidence that London-based BP will stem the flow of as much as 60,000 barrels of oil a day in the Gulf as soon as this month. We'll be right back.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived.
code to teamspeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc. The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we've returned once again, and we're going to move in now into our second hour. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention to the time. Welcome back to our Friday, July the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. Sometimes we're going to have to scratch our head to find these solutions, but always lots of news and facts, that's for sure. But in the first hour of the day's broadcast, we're taking a little bit of a look at some of the other news besides BP, looking at some of the financial news, some of the things that are going down around the world, but also back into an inquiry, a little bit more of an inquiry, trying to verify some of the things that are floating around out there in the talkosphere, I guess would be one way of saying it. Certain testimony that we've been hearing coming out from voices such as Lindsay Williams. Anyway, we're looking at at British Petroleum and understanding that the global financial community has not lost confidence necessarily in this company, and that other than the Christian evangelical right, you might look at it like that, hanky wringing and pulling out the Book of Revelations, and making forecasts of an apocalypse and everybody standing outside at night waiting to be vacuumed up to the great grandstands in the sky so that they can watch the apocalypse. Well, it's not happened, and it's probably not going to happen, but it, is not a good scene, no matter how you cut it, for the people that live in the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to be a long, slow grind to get them out of the trouble that they're in. Some of them will perish in the process, no doubt. But again, bondholders are gaining confidence that the London-based BP will stem the flow of as much as 60,000 barrels of oil a day into the Gulf as soon as this month, giving the market a means to begin estimating its financial toll. BP again is drilling the two relief wells to plug the leak, and interception may occur ahead of schedule, said the National Incident Commander, Thad Allen. Now, this could just be, be public, notice. This could be just a whitewash and gloss and calming and public relations and so on and so forth. But it certainly sounds to me as though the investment community is walking right along with BP. People can make much more of an investable story out of it right now, said Matthew Egan, a money manager at Loomis Sayles in Boston, which oversees $145 billion in equity and fixed income assets. Quote, there's a bit of hope built into the prices here, but people are saying we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're willing to make that leap of faith, close quote. Credit default swaps, while it still costs more to protect BP bonds against default for 1 year than it does for five, the difference is narrowed to the tightest now since June 22nd. Five-year credit default swaps, which reached 594 basis points on June 29th, now trade at 374. So you can see that the risk is going down, the credit default swaps, fewer people are betting on BP to fail here. Elsewhere in credit markets, let's skip that. Fannie Mae, let's skip that. Go down here a little bit further. Let's skip that. Drop down a little bit further. They're giving a lot of misdirection in here. Now, here we're back to it. The cost of protecting corporate bonds from default in the U.S. fell to the lowest in more than 2 weeks. Goes in a little bit more of a sidetracking here. Let's see a little bit more here. Here we go. They had to hide it. See? Anadarko Petroleum Corporation. Everybody knows that BP and Anadarko are partners on this well, Macondo. Anadarko Petroleum Corporation notes were the most traded junk bonds. Right? They're down to junk bonds now. High yield, high risk debt is rated below BAAA, capital B, three, lowercase A, three, by Moody's Investors, and lower than BBB by Standard & Poor's. And then it goes on a little bit further. Financing includes a three-year term of 5 billion euros, blah, blah, blah. We'll pick all that up on the other side of this short bit. Stay with us.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on our Friday, July the 9th, 2010, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, you know, to go into these kind of conversations and look at these various and sundry issues and articles. Sometimes you have to back into them, back into understanding. It's not always going to be out there right out and open for you. So sometimes you have to dig around a little bit. And certainly, as I get up each morning and spend about 3 hours on the browser searching for news in the morning before the broadcast, you come across a lot of things that you could easily spend the entire day off, but I don't want to bore you or take away too much time from the broadcast on BP, but it's an important enough issue that we need to look at it, in my opinion, and others feel the same way. But again, you can call in throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. For those that are out there listening on terrestrial radio, you're our AM and FM affiliates. If you want to come communicate with me, it's easily done. Don't feel as though there's any electronic discrimination going on here. All you have to do is bend your head over an envelope and send a letter to me at Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 855-765-6447. I do receive letters from the listeners, and I always enjoy that. I know that not everyone can afford to be on an internet connection computer, and not everyone has a computer or computer savvy or any desire to be there. So if you're living out in the woods in a cabin, you want to communicate with me, ask a question, give me some advice, tell me to take a fly in the window or whatever, you can do that. Just P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Back to this article again, looking at BP from a financial standpoint as regards to what's going on in the Gulf. The BP bonds, again, the BP's 4.7% notes gained 1.5 cents to 90.25 cents on the dollar yesterday, according to TRACE, the bond price reporting system of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. One-year credit default swaps on BP fell 8 basis points to 502 basis points, according to the CMA. The swaps reached a high of 997 as recently as June the 16th. Now, continuing. Capping the well would give investors a means to start estimating the total costs BP will face from the spill and gauge the potential impact on its ability to repay creditors, Loomis Sales Egan said. Now, notice that they weren't receiving any messages from Jesus here. They're talking about dollars and cents in this new economic moral order that we have. Profit good, loss bad. All right? Nobody's taking out the reservations to get aboard the spaceship Christ. BP pledged to set aside $20 billion on June 16th to compensate the spill's victims and finance the cleanup. The company halted dividend payments and planned to sell $10 billion in assets to pay for it. Relief well drillers were ahead of schedule after Hurricane Alex missed the spill in the Gulf, Thad Allen said last week. Previous failed attempts to stop the leak and forecasts for as many as 14 hurricanes in the Atlantic this year are keeping investors guarded. This is as catastrophic. This is your credit default stuff. These are your cap bonds. Excuse me. There's a lot of financial, there are many financial eyes looking at this situation, as well as the environmentalists, as well as everyone else. And unfortunately for the people in the Gulf region that are going to be impacted by this, the last concern is for the people. Always going to be that way. Ain't going to change. While the market may have priced in the worst, investors remain exposed to the risk. The costs continue to escalate, said Stephen Anzac, the head of U.S. credit strategy at Societe Generale in New York. The one-year implied default rate is almost 10%, assuming 59 cents on the dollar recovery on the debt. And then it goes on, unlimited liability. It's still an unlimited liability until they plug the hole and they get through the hurricane season, said Mirko Mikulec, a senior money manager at the Fifth Third Asset Management in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Fundamentally, however, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. BP bonds have handed investors returns of 3.96% this month. The bonds, that's a pretty good return for a month. Multiply that out by 12. Second only to the 5.82% return on the notes of Anadarko. Among the 50 largest insurers in Bank of America, Merrill Lynch's Global Energy Index. Anadarko, based in the Woodlands, Texas, owns 25% of the leaking well. Quote, the worst is behind us, said Brian Gibbons, an analyst at Credit Sites, Inc. in New York, who said investors started to regain confidence after BP's agreement with Barry the Usurper to set up the compensation fund. So if we go over here, and then let's look at this article off of Bloomberg as well. I am racing. I have a ton of material I want to cover. I hope to be able to get to most of it today. Hayward sees Abu Dhabi prince as BP seeks support. This article by Zainab Fatah and Henry Meyer, writing for Bloomberg on July the 7th. So this is 2 days old now. BP PLC Chief Executive Officer Tony Hayward said he had a very good meeting with Abu Dhabi's crown prince. His analysts said the oil producer may be looking for support from Middle East investors. Now, you remember, of course, that BP was contemplating selling off some of their isolated or islands, if you will, their islands, not islands like out in the sea, but places in the United States that are non-contiguous holdings. All right? And so finding people to buy their non-contiguous holdings would be a good thing for BP. Could be a very bad thing for us. Could be extremely bad if you happen to live next to one of these non-contiguous holdings and you wake up and you go, howdy, I got a new neighbor, and he's from Abu Dhabi, and they bring the camels next week. Hayward, who spoke to reporters as he left the United Arab Emirates, that's the UAE, United Arab Emirates, everyone now knows that that's the that little crescent over there, that little crescent on the Persian Gulf. Anyway, Strait of Hormuz, choke point, the whole world is looking over there right now. Hayward, who spoke to reporters as he left the United Arab Emirates, that's where we had Abu Dhabi there, the United Arab Emirates, that's where the Rothschilds came in and bailed them out. That's where they built this huge tower, a shining tower of Babel, all right? Largest building in the world, isn't it? Something like that. Again, Hayward, who spoke to reporters as he left the United Arab Emirates after a 24-hour visit, could be seeking money from sovereign wealth funds after BP incurred billions of dollars in liabilities from the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, there's a very interesting video that you might want to look at that's up on the web today. Saud Massad, the head of the Middle East Research at UBS AG, speaks about possible interest from the region's sovereign wealth funds, and there's others as well that you could look at to find out more about this. But the options for chasing strategic investors in the Middle East is a sound one. The Crown Prince, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Try and say that when you're about to cough. The Crown Prince, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Pretty good, Willie. Keep this up. You'll have it down soon. Is the chairman of the Mubadala Development Company, an investment arm of the Abu Dhabi government. Quote, the option for chasing strategic investors in the Middle East is a sound one, said Saud Massad, the Dubai-based head of Middle East research at UBS AG, in a Bloomberg television interview yesterday. Quote, they have significant capital, then they also invest for the long term. They invest for the long term. Wouldn't that be a fitting payback for Aramco if all of a sudden we see the Sauds buying up British Petroleum?
Now cPanel.com brings you emergency gear you can use today. The new $99 Sunflower can become your everyday solar hot water heater. Place in a sunny spot, connect to your garden hose, and let the sun help you save hundreds on your utility bills. If the power goes out, you'll have safe hot water for showers and cleaning. And if a flood, earthquake, or hurricane leaves you without clean water, you'll have 18 gallons of fresh emergency drinking water, which won't drain back to empty city water lines. In hot weather, the Sunflower will even sterilize contaminated water. Perfect for camping, emergencies, swimming pools, beach houses, and hunting cabins, because the Sunflower weighs only 4 pounds and folds into its own included travel bag. Setup takes seconds, and the Sunflower fills and regulates automatically. It's the least expensive automatic solar hot water heater and can pay for itself in months. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A, panel.com. Enter Oracle into the coupon box to receive a free 8-in-1 stainless steel card knife with your order. Sunflower, the $99 solar hot water heater.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So, of course, having very intelligent listeners out there in our listening audience, I'm sure most of you are well aware that the United Arab Emirates is not just one emir. It's the United Arab Emirates, and those are emirs. They're like the sheikhs, you know, the sheikhs of Arabi. And so Abu Dhabi is one place. Dubai is another place. And each of these are the various emirs. And if my memory serves, there are six of these emirs. Each and all may be very interested in buying some of this BP stock, along with other people around the world. But the closing the option for chasing strategic investors again in the Middle East is a sound one. They have significant capital, then they also invest for the long term. Too often we overlook the amount of wealth, the vast amount of wealth that lays in this region, intergenerationally from the time of the pharaohs. You know, yeah, they come in, they steal a lot of it, they beat the hell out of these people, but there's a lot of wealth laying there, and in China as well and elsewhere in the Orient and Asia. Continuing, the sovereign wealth funds may be interested in buying BP stock after its price dropped about half, blah, blah, blah. Hayward last month pledged to set aside $20 billion, blah, blah, blah. To pay for it, the company halted dividend payments and planned to sell $10 billion in assets across the globe. All right, and they came under a tremendous amount of fire for this failing to pay the pensioners their due, so to speak. And it continues. The meeting with the Crown Prince was very good, said Hayward, as he arrived to board a private jet preparing to depart from Abu Dhabi. Quote, it was a delight to meet with our long-term partners and friends. And you've got to know it. I mean, you just got to know it. The Sauds, the Aramco, you know, British Petroleum, Iranian oil, all that, you know. Yeah, long-term partners and friends. They got us over the OPEC barrel of oil. BP has said it is not looking to issue new equity. Less pressure? The London-based oil giant would benefit from attracting new capital by easing pressure for rapid sales, said Rachel Zaimba, a senior analyst who tracks sovereign wealth funds at Nouriel Roubini's New York-based Roubini Global Economics. Quote, raising capital gives more room for maneuver by putting less pressure for asset sales, she said, by phone from London. Buyers may demand a discount. Qatar, and this is another one of these little sovereign wealth funds, you know, Qatar, they call it Qatar. Well, it's Qatar, it's the way it's been pronounced for years. That's where you have the Doha rounds and all that sort of stuff, I believe. Could be mistaken there. That's probably Doha, of all places. Anyway, Qatar's Sovereign Wealth Fund and Mub Adala and the International Petroleum Investment Company in Abu Dhabi are the most likely to be interested in acquiring a BP stake, Zaimba said. So now there's three sheiks in one. Abu Dhabi's sovereign funds hold a combined $500 billion, according to the Roubini Global Economics. Makes sense. Sovereign funds traditionally, quote, have invested in the European and Western markets in large cap names, and when you can pick up BP at 50% cheaper than its recent highs, then it makes a lot of sense for both parties. spokesman for the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and the International Petroleum Investment Company declined to comment on whether Hayward were scheduled to meet officials there. A spokesman for the Qatar Investment Authority also declined to comment. Hayward has been touring countries where BP has exploration and production operations. He was in Russia last week and in Azerbaijan yesterday before arriving in Abu Dhabi. He's kind of on a world circuit, wouldn't you agree? BP produces oil in the Sheikhdom, where it is a partner with state-run Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, known as ADNOC. In a ADNOC, put their petroleum in your automobile, and you can add NOC to the engine, perhaps, in a venture that dates back to the first oil concessions granted in the 1930s in what is now the United Arab Emirates. A Saudi business team, including energy industry investors, is seeking to acquire between 10% and 15% of BP's shares and will hold talks with the company. Al-Ekutisadia reported today without saying where he got the information. Well, he got it from the shoeshine kid, and the shoeshine kid is married to the woman that irons his turban, probably. Goodbye? Well, not really a goodbye, but a goodbye. BP is a goodbye after the drop in share prices, Shokri Ghanem, Libya's top oil official, said in a Bloomberg television interview yesterday. He's advising Libya's sovereign wealth fund to take a stake in BP. Going global, eh? Beyond petroleum? I'd say so. The Kuwait Investment Office is in talks with BP about increasing its holding in the company, the Guardian newspaper said on its website on July the 4th. Kuwait does not plan to increase its stake in BP PLC for now, the newspaper Al Ray said yesterday. They're knocking on the doors to see who they can get on their side, and countries are looking to see what opportunities there may be, said the PFC Energy Dubai-based analyst Thaddeus Malaysia. A quick deal was unlikely. A potential buyers would carry substantial due diligence, so on and so forth, and there's more involved in all of that. Let's go over here. Keep an eye on these people. Keep an eye on these families. And whenever they come up in the news, I always like to bring them out for you. This off Bloomberg this morning. New news. Rothschild's Valar seeks iron ore coal acquisitions. See, when we talk about sustainable development, it's all about demand. Has very little to do with the environment, has everything to do with environmental and developmental concerns. That's what we're sustaining with our sustainable development, although some won't research it enough to find that out. But nevertheless, Valar PLC, V-A-L-L-A-R PLC, which raised 707.2 million pounds or $1.07 billion in a London public initial offering, that would be an IPO, favors mining acquisitions involving bulk commodities such as iron ore and coal in North or South America, founder Nathaniel Rothschild said. Now, Valar PLC's national Nathaniel Rothschild here, nice young British boy, you know, red hair and all that, the redheaded stepchild, right? Valuations among mid-cap mining companies look very, very compelling, he said. This would be Nathaniel Rothschild. In a telephone interview today, what's absolutely certain is that we can buy an asset that is a multiple of what we've raised. Rothschild, who is 38 years old, is the former co-president of New York-based hedge fund firm Atticus Capital, LLC. Now, Atticus Capital, I wish I had been taking, I had the money, I guess, really, to be able to copy all of these articles off on my printer, because I have had an Atticus Capital article or two that have come up recently, and I didn't know that the Rothschilds were half owners there. But anyway, Atticus Capital LLC and the only son of British financier Jacob Rothschild. Okay, so you got Jacob or Jacob or Jacobin or Jacob Rothschild and his son, Nathaniel Rothschild, 38 years old. So just put that on your notepad and you'll have another family member in the intergenerational consortium of Rothschild bloodlines, tapped investors to help fund a purchase of a mining business or operation valued at 2 billion to 5 billion pounds. Bloomberg World Mining Index has slumped 17%, blah, blah, blah. the prices of public and private market mining assets are certainly cheaper than they were 3 months ago. And remember, analysts at Liberum Capital Limited in London said today in a note to clients, this is the first time I've ever seen anybody use that, besides me, one of my longest email addies has always been Liberum. Liberum, by the way, for those of you that don't know, means the free, with the definite article, the free. It's like Mare Liberum, that would be Hugo Grotius's work, where I got it, the free sea. Well, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Much, much more to come.
For great talk radio, you found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again going through this article off of Bloomberg in regards to Nathaniel Rothschild, Jacob Rothschild's son, and the youngest child, 38 years old apparently. But again, you know, you will notice that the Rothschilds don't invest very much time or energy, and certainly not any of their money, in moonbeams and unicorns. They're looking at natural resources. They're looking at true wealth, and that's where they've almost always been. And certainly, you'd have to understand that as we move into this cap-and-trade, global warming, blasting coal, for instance, coal-fired power plants and things like that, you got to know that the backside of the story is here that the Rothschilds are buying coal mines, all right? So the price of the value of the coal mines will go down and down. They'll make money on it. They'll buy the coal, and everybody will remember, oh, my God, solar panels don't work worth a crap. And they're not doing the job. Then we'll go back to coal. But it won't be until the master blasters of the financial institutions of the globe, the Rothschilds, pick up all of the potential coal on the planet, probably. Anyway, going a little bit further into this discussion here, Rothschild, chairman of Valar's-based Valar's Advisors, co-founder James Campbell, was former chief of coal and base metals at Anglo-American PLC. Anglo-American establishment, you know, Carol Quigley, Council on Foreign Relations, London School of Economics, and other managers invested £100 million in Valar, the company said in a statement, £100 million. The shares dropped, blah, blah, blah. Credit Suisse AG coordinated the sale with joint bookrunner J.P. Morgan, KZNOV Limited, Evolution Securities Limited, and Liberum Capital were co-managers. Rothschild, the youngest of four children of Jacob Rothschild, ranked seventh in the Sunday Times list of the 25 wealthiest UK-based hedge fund managers in an annual estimate of net worth known as the Rich List. He has an estimated fortune of £330 million, according to the list published in April. That would probably be the £330 million that he would show on his cufflinks, not something that he would hold close to his breast. Anyway, Valar is confident of completing a transaction well within 2 years and may study assets sold off by major mining companies, he added, that Valar may also consider buying companies with stressed balance sheets. Stressed balance sheets. We got a short list of a handful of ideas, Rothschild said. What we are not trying to do is to acquire a series of lowly rated mid-side companies to make up one lowly rated large cap company. The acquisitions focus will be on stable regions such as North and South America. It'd be Canada. That'd be Alaska. That'd be the United States of America, continental, probably Mexico, Central America, and South America, as well as Australia. Here we've had all of this nonsense now back and forth with Gillard and others as regards to the mining taxes. All right. And Valar isn't likely to seek targets in Russia initially, he said, initially. They'll go to Russia too, count on it. What we are trying to do is to come up with a sensible industrial plan around a particular commodity or commodities like coal and iron and try and get what I would call a better rating, a supplier to the carbon steel industry, for example. Well, there is that lengthy article. There are others too. We're running out of time, so I'm going to go over to here and just do this. Let's see. Yes. Those of you may know, perhaps you heard yesterday on other networks and broadcasts, certainly Doug Owen brought it out last evening. Terry Anderson, who was interviewed here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network by Jimmy X on his broadcast on Sundays, is it? Terry Anderson died yesterday, day before yesterday, of pancreatic cancer. Now, some of you may have listened to him. I certainly have listened to his broadcasts on Sunday nights for a very long time. I've always had certain disagreements with Terry, but I'm going to just say that for what he was doing, he was a strong spokesman. He had a lively broadcast. He was an excellent broadcaster. He always spent a lot of time in preparation, getting his broadcast ready to go. And he is a strong voice and a good broadcaster that will, and certainly by me and others, be missed on the air. So not to take away from anything from what Terry has been doing in the comments that are going to follow, but certainly he definitely earned his stripes in radio. I mean, this is a guy that just about, I don't know whether or not it's true, but he never missed a broadcast. And I understand that feeling. I try and make it here to the radio microphone every single day. Here's a little bit from, and if you want to find out a lot more about it, go up to Numbers USA, folks. NumbersUSA.com. NumbersUSA.com. They've got a delightful spread here this morning on their website. There are lots of videos that you can listen to or see, and audios to listen to, and articles to read. Find out a little bit about Terry Anderson. He deserves your attention. even if it is, you know, just after the fact. Sad to say so. But long time, this is, I'm reading right off the article here now, a long time radio host and immigration champion, Terry Anderson, died on Wednesday. Anderson was known for voicing his opinion on the negative impacts that America's current immigration system has on black Americans. All right, he would articulate the popular rage. Stupid Americans, is the way he used to start his broadcast, if I remember right. Stupid Americans, you know, if you're not mad, you ain't paying attention. Anyway, it continues. But it's very important because he was looking at it from a single point issue. He was looking at the illegal alien invasion, the immigration invasion, from the single point issue of the impact that the illegal aliens had on the Negro population of America. All right. And with almost blinders on, which is where he and I had disagreements mentally. It's just a shame, but that was the way that he took it, and he was a great champion for that. Continuing, Terry is survived by his wife, Melanie, who was also his high school sweetheart. They have two sons, two grandchildren. He was born in Oakland, California, but moved to South Los Angeles when he was a youngster and lived there ever since. You know, he's always a prisoner of South from Los Angeles, right? Terry would have broadcast for the 500th time in a few weeks. He's known for his well-prepared opening monologues. And they have a copy of one of them here that you can look at. Basically, he's known for his well-prepared opening monologues, which he often spent 20 to 30 hours a week to prepare. In 10 years, he never missed a show, although he was preempted a few times by his home station on very short notice. So he has a lot of information. You can also go to his website. All of that, you can find at Numbers USA this morning, and I would encourage you to do that. We don't have very much more time today to go into, well, we'll try. We'll go as far as we can. But this is important to me. It's important to me because there are lots of different voices that have been involved in creating this division and maintaining a division between the Negro population of this country and the white population of this country. And it's just really a shame. It never had needed to go this way, but it did. When you go back to the 14th Amendment, for instance, after the War of Northern Aggression, and you look at things like the Emancipation Proclamation, these are after effects. You know, slavery was virtually on its, well, it was almost on, it may even have been out in England, and it was on its way out. It was waning all over the world. It was losing popularity. The idea of that kind of an overt, open, and avarice system of impressing people to labor was losing favor all over the planet. Of course, slavery is as old as time. We're still in a system of slavery that few understand. But let's get a little bit of an understanding from that right out of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment here. All persons, Section 1 starts this way. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges of it or immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdictions the equal protections of the laws. Now, we can go into that, and many scholars have done it. The 14th Amendment basically didn't free anybody, but what it did do is it made slaves out of everyone. You can think about the proclamation, you know, emancipation and all of that, the early equal rights legislation. Also, bring, you know, just fast forward into the more modern time period and get your Martin Luther King and all of the radicals out of Berkeley, California, that went by buses in the late 60s, early 70s, into the South to be part of the marches, going up and down, you know, with their signs and whatnot, on these marches and walks for equal rights. Well, what kind of equal rights did we actually wind up with? Here comes the break. Okay, it's Title 42, USC, United States Code, subsection 1981, Equal Rights Under the Law. I'll read that to you as we come back. Stay with us. Thank you.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, and it would have been so easy to spend the entire 2 hours on this particular topic, but I did want to get that other news out of the way and get it under our belt, so to speak, as we go into the weekend, things to think about. But there's a tremendous amount of research that you can do in regards to the simple word Negro, with the capital N, by the way, proper noun, Negro. There's been a long, long onslaught against the use of that term, that word, that proper noun, and it has... It really altered much. It has altered much. It has gained little, in my opinion. But in its regards to rights, Americans, soon you'll know what it's like to have no rights any longer. 14th Amendment citizens. You can go up to www.law.cornell.edu and look at the U.S. Code 42-1981. This was brought to my attention by Hal Anthony, a very competent researcher and radio host in his own right. But it's equal rights under the law. All right, and this is how it reads, Statement of Equal Rights. This is what you get for your rights, all that work, all that violence, all that trouble and turmoil. This is what you got for your equal rights. Statement of Equal Rights. All persons within the jurisdiction of the United States shall have the same right in every state and territory to make and enforce contracts, to sue, to be parties, and give evidence, and to the full and equal benefit of all laws and proceedings for the security of persons and property as is enjoyed by white citizens, and shall be subject to, like punishment, pains, penalties, taxes, licenses, and exactions of every kind, and to no other. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but unfortunately, we're all painted with the same tar brush now. Make and enforce contracts defined for the purpose of this section. The term make and enforce contracts includes the making, performance, modification, and termination of contracts, and the enjoyment of all benefits, privileges, terms, and conditions of the contractual relationship. And boy, are we contracted. Protection against impairments. The rights protected by this section are protected against impairment by non-governmental discrimination and impairment under color of state law. Color of law. Well, that's what you get, and that's what you got. But what you had was something far greater than that. For those of us who spend a little time or a lot of time reading, you'll find that throughout history, it is seldom seen the word black, okay? That's something new. That's your post-Martin Luther King time period. Many of you may recall Deanne Burley's broadcast. She's on Blog Talk Radio still yet, I believe, her co-host John. I've been in communication with Deanne Burley since we first got to know each other through the RBN network, and really enjoy speaking with her. Her last name, Burley, should be familiar to some of you, but Dan Burley, her father, was, I believe, if my memory serves me right, it's not, please correct me, but I think Dan Burley's father, was the founder, I think, of the Jet magazine and the Ebony magazine, did a lot to raise the esteem and recognition of those Negroes, and I'll use the term boldly, that have set themselves apart, let's say, from the milieu, and have exercised all of these various and things, sundry things that we've talked about in our study, not only from John Locke, but John Stuart Mill and so much else. But it's kind of a shame, because if you look up in the encyclopedias black, you don't get anything. And so when you build a stigmatism around the word, people forget about the word. They forget about the rich nature of a word. Words do have meanings. Their meanings are important, as is how they are used. I would hope to, and perhaps I'll need to come back to it another time, go into a lengthy article, a series of lengthy articles that are available here in my Encyclopedia Americana, 1951 edition, many of these articles written much earlier than that, that are about Negro. It's under that title, Negro. And I'll just give you a little bit right out of the beginning here. Negro is a descriptive name that has been used since early times for the dark-skinned, woolly-haired inhabitants of Africa. In its popular usage, it often includes the dark-skinned people not recognized as Negroes by anthropologists, who more properly confine its application to those people in Africa or to those derived from that continent who possess certain specific physical characteristics. Ideally, the Negro is distinguished principally by, and then it talks about these various principles. This is the outward appearance. 10 points they list. Continuing, these features in varying degrees and combinations distinguish the Negroes from other stocks of mankind. Difficulty in classification arises, however, among those groups which, by miscegenation with non-Negro populations, have lost some of these traits, or possess them only in an attenuated form. Thus, along the contact areas of the northern and northeastern portions of Africa are distributed a large number of tribes who cannot be strictly classified as Negro, since together with certain Negroid features, they also possess features indicative of mixture with other stocks. Okay? And so I guess you could say that in a land full of miscegenation, Negro would be only too clinical, and perhaps that was part of the incentive to make a transition to this phrase black. Of course, when I was being raised up, if I ever said black or colored, I was as likely to get my mouth scrubbed out as a club upside the head or a swat by my mama. You don't speak that way in our household, okay? It's no more than what you would give some kind of a slur against an Alaskan Indian or an Eskimo. try and find out what tribe they're from. And when you're speaking of Tlingits, say Tlingit, etc. The dark-skinned peoples of Melanesia and New Guinea are also sometimes called Negro, but the anthropologist prefers to classify them as a distinct subgroup related to the true Negro of Africa, but apart from him, since they deviate in certain particulars from the African Negro. This larger family is often referred to as Negroid, right? None of these are slurs. These are all real names. This is history that's been obfuscated behind the idea of subsuming our people under these common identities, this communitarian, communalistic worldview. They would like to have us homogenized people, smooth in the crotch and all bronze-skinned. Nonsense. What a boring world that would be. Continuing, formerly the Negroes were confined to Africa, south of the Sahara, except for a relatively few who were transported to the Mediterranean countries as slaves. With the economic exploitation of the New World, the Negro became an important source of labor. Consequently, a vast but unknown number of them were shipped to America as slaves. They rapidly adjusted themselves to their new environment and expanded enormously in numbers. Where the population was sparse, because the white could not maintain themselves or because the native Indian groups had been decimated or wiped out, the transplanted Negro became the dominant and, in some places, the exclusive population. Thus, today, there are two major centers of Negro population, Africa and America. The American Negro is confined mainly to the warmer zones of the New World, being most numerous in the tropic belt of Central America and the contiguous areas of North and South America. In the United States, they were, until recently, largely confined to the Old South, where they had been settled since plantation days. Well, there's so much more here, that we can't even begin to scratch it, unfortunately, today. I've got a caller on the line and only a minute to go. I won't be able to take your call. I'm sorry, do call again on Monday. But this article is extensive, and it goes into many, many parts and pieces of this wonderful history, a vast history, a history that one could be proud of, a history that one could look to. Negro education, huge section in here. A Negro music in here. Negro melodies in here. Negro minstrels in here. And so on, and so on, and so on. But you close these windows of history when you start to exchange the idea of individuality, individualism, for this idea of the collective or collectivism. We have so many rich heritages. We have so much rich history. There are so many things to know and so many unknown things about what happened in the southernmost end of Africa that to just wipe it out and give it a generic title is truly a shame, in my opinion. But anyway, we'll be back again on Monday, and perhaps during the week next, we'll go into this article a little bit more. And remember, folks, Terry Anderson did a really good service. Stupid people of America, wake up. Have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Now cPanel.com brings you emergency gear you can use today. The new $99 Sunflower can become your everyday solar hot water heater. Place in a sunny spot, connect to your garden hose, and let the sun help you save hundreds on your utility bills. If the power goes out, you'll have safe hot water for showers and cleaning. And if a flood, earthquake, or hurricane leaves you without clean water, you'll have 18 gallons of fresh emergency drinking water, which won't drain back to empty city water lines. In hot weather, the Sunflower will even sterilize contaminated water. Perfect for camping, emergencies, swimming pools, beach houses, and hunting cabins because the Sunflower weighs only 4 pounds and folds into its own included travel bag. Setup takes seconds, and the Sunflower fills and regulates automatically. It's the least expensive automatic solar hot water heater and can pay for itself in months. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A, panel.com. Enter Oracle into the coupon box to receive a free 8-in-1 stainless steel card knife with your order. Sunflower, the $99 solar hot water heater.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com.
the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.